Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we wait at thy footstool this morning. For thou art God, and beside thee there's none other. Thou art the holy God. Thou art the triune God. Thou art the sovereign God who sits upon thy throne. Lord, we're nothing. Nothing but poor and needy souls that wait before you this morning. We dare not be proud in heart. We confess that sin unto you over and over again, for it robs thee of thy glory. And we do not want to be proud of heart. We want to be broken at thy feet. We want to take the low place. We want to just lay at thy feet and be like Mary, to learn of thee and to rest before thee. And be like Mary Magdalene, who held thy feet and said, Rabboni, my Lord, my God, my Master. O Father, we wait before you. We wait in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come on the basis of his shed blood. Thou knowest our hearts and thou knowest our needs, and especially this word that thou hast given us this morning, that it'll be a word that will sink down deep into our hearts, and that there will not be a one of us that will be able to get away from it, for it is a word from thee. So will you have mercy upon us? Will you cleanse the vessel? Would you give us a pure heart and a clean heart, clean hands that we might handle the holy things of God? Our Father, take everything out of our heart and mouth and words that would offend because we said it in any other way but in love. Take that which thou hast ordained, and will you take it home to our hearts? If ever a poor man needed you this morning, I do. If ever a poor people needed you, we do. And we wait before you that thy will may be done. For in Christ's name we ask. Amen. We want you to turn with us to Psalm 90, and let us begin reading at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear upon thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. This prayer or psalm was written by Moses. While the commentaries agree upon the fact that Moses wrote it, the only psalm that we have that he wrote, a psalm probably written right after God had commanded him to go on and to wander in the wilderness, that for every day the spies were in the land and came back in unbelief, that would be a year that the children of Israel would wander in the wilderness until all who were over 20 would die in the wilderness. And only two, God promised, would come out, and that was Caleb and Joshua. And they were the only ones over 20, including Moses and Aaron and others who were there, did not go into the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb. 10th verse, where it says, the days of our years are 70. And if by strength of reason, by reason of strength they be 80, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Many have taken that to be the span of life. It could be. But I think that he was thinking of those who were going to be cut off, who would be maybe only 60 years of age, or 65 or 70 or 80 years of age would be cut off in the wilderness and would not get into the promised land. And so his prayer was in verse 12 that each one of them in the wilderness, and of course it applies to us, would number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I could imagine that this psalm, this prayer of Moses was read to the people many and many a time. It was kept unto the day that they put the psalms together. And it was a long time between Moses and David, or Solomon when he put the psalms together, whoever it was. He said in verse 15, make us glad according to the days when thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. He asked God that there would be mercy upon them, and that God would show goodness and gladness toward them, the same number of years that he had afflicted them, and that would be 40 years in the wilderness. And then watch verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants. We are doing thy work, he said. His work was to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. God had called him to this. He did not make it there, even though we do know that on top of Mount Nebo he saw the promised land from Dan to Beersheba through eyes that God gave him to see the whole promised land that God was going to give to the children of Israel when they finally went in there. He saw it with his eyes, but he did not go into it. But he knew the work that God had called him to do. It was God's work. God's work through Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. So he cried, let thy work appear unto thy servants. As we go through the wilderness, let thy work appear unto each and every individual, that it is the work of the Lord. And these are the ways of the Lord that he is leading us in. And then he said, and thy glory, let it be upon their children. And it was the generation of the children, those under 20, who went into the promised land. He was praying that they would, that the work of God would appear to be the work of God to those who were alive then, and the glory unto their children that went into the promised land. And then he said, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the beauty and the delightfulness of our God and the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Let us know his presence. Don't leave us to ourselves, even though you have cursed. In wrath, remember mercy, is what he's saying. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Don't leave us to ourselves because you have done this. But let us see your beauty. Let us see your glory. Let us see your holiness and your majesty. Let us be with thee and to acquaint ourselves with thee and to know thee as the Lord God, to know thy faithfulness, thy favor, to know the delight of being in thy presence. And then he says, and establish or confirm thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Now it's that 17th verse that we desire to speak upon this morning. I would like to take the last part of our text first and then come to the expression, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. He cries, confirm or establish thou the work of our hands upon us. And then he repeats it. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let us know from the very beginning this morning that each one that God saves has a work to do. and that the work that God has called us to do is the work of God in us. For it's God who worketh in us both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Now, I trust when we finish, you'll understand why God laid this upon our heart to speak to these words this morning. We can never take comfort. Listen to me now. We can never take comfort in our own work for the Lord. Every work that we do for the Lord is marred in some way. We must daily confess that we are unprofitable servants and that we have not done all that God desired for us to do. He's given us a brand new day every day, but yet we have marred it in some way. Now, we must confess before we go to sleep at night that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we cannot take comfort in our labor, even though it's the labor of the Lord. And the more He gives us to do, the more anxieties come upon us. Because we are careful to do the work of God as He would desire us to do, and yet we know that we fall short of it. We can't take comfort in that. We can't get peace and comfort out of something that we do. But God desires that we would get comfort and peace out of the work that He does, the work of the Lord. And this is where God wants us to start this morning. Let us remember the work that God has wrought in our souls. If it's a work of grace, it will last. If it's a work that God has done by His Spirit, it will last. If it's a work that God has done by the blood and righteousness of Christ, it is a work that will continue to the end. It might ebb and flow, as we saw in Psalm 42 that we talked about just a moment ago. But it is a work that God does in the soul, and we can be established in God's work that He does in our souls. But we cannot trust in the works that we do. We cannot trust in our own righteousness. We cannot trust in our own labors. We cannot bargain with God and said we have done such and such, therefore we ask for a blessing. Christ has done such and such, and therefore we ask for a blessing. That is the prayer of our hearts. Christ has done such and such, and therefore we ask for a blessing. We come in His name. We come in His blood. We come in His righteousness. We come looking to Him. So let Thy work appear unto Thy servants. Let the work which Thou hast done, may we rejoice in Thee. That work is finished. Ours never is. The work which God has given us to do is never finished. Only the work which God has done will last forever. But He does give each one of His people a work to do. Now, what is that work? Let's remember what He says. Establish Thou the work of our hands. The ungodly can't pray this prayer. It would be blasphemy for the ungodly to pray this prayer and ask God's blessings upon what they do, because it is nothing but a work of evil. And the Lord Jesus came to destroy all the works of the devil, the evil works. And in destroying the work of the devil, He destroyed all the works that have been wrought by men, possessed by the evil spirit of Satan. Therefore, we cannot ask God, as ungodly souls, to bless any work that we do. We can ask God that He'll bless the work of Christ as sinners coming to Him, that He will honor the faith of God that He gives us in Christ. He will honor the righteousness of Christ that He covers us with. This is what we desire. But we cannot ask His blessings or His mercies upon that work which is evil. God will never establish our works if we're trying to rival the work of the Son. If we're trying to bring something to God and act independent of the Savior, He will never honor that work. Beloved, we can bring nothing to God. If I conceive within myself that I have a righteousness that will merit me God's favor, then I am telling God His wisdom was all wrong in sending a Savior to die in my place. I'm telling the Holy Spirit that His work is not necessary to make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. When I try to palm off on God a work of my own hands, then and ask God to establish that work and honor that work, God will not do it. He will not honor a work of our own hands at all that's done outside of Him. But He will honor that work that we do for Him as His people. And beloved, I learned a long time ago that you cannot separate what the world calls a secular life from a religious or a spiritual life. The housewife can pray just as assuredly that God would bless her labors in the home, with the children, with the husband, and to be an obedient wife, and to love her children and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The father can pray for the children and that God would give him an even temper and would give him that countenance and that wisdom and that love that he might bring up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can pray just as much for our labors in the home for the Lord as we do if we teach a Sunday school class or labor behind the pulpit or whatever we do in the service of the Lord. And we should pray that God would bless, because God's people are priests. We have a holy priesthood, and therefore we should learn that whatever we do, whether we eat or whether we drink or whether we sleep, that we will do it to the glory of the Lord, and that God will bless the labors of our hands in whatever thing we do, that God will bless it for His glory and for our good. I don't know why we got the idea to separate the secular from what we call the religious, as if one was above the other. No, we should pray that God would bless in all the things that we bring before Him. Beloved, we have a lesson in the Word of God, and we should not take the little things for granted, that we should not pray about them and ask God to bless them for His glory. You remember how the army of Israel was sweeping through the land of promise? And how God was giving them victory after victory. And there was a people by the name of the Gibeonites who saw that everybody that they had met so far had just been slaughtered and cut to the ground. And so they devised a way that they may be able to deceive or trick Joshua and the elders. So they dressed up some of their leaders in old clothes and old shoes, and they took bread that had been molded, and they came looking shabby and unshaven and old and bread that was moldy, and they come to Israel and they said, "We have come from a far country. We've heard of You. We desire Your God to be our God." And Joshua and the people did not take it to the priests to cast the lot to see if they were true. Neither did they pray about it, as they did not pray about going to Ai. You know how that they swore that they would not kill the Gibeonites, and how the Gibeonites were a thorn in their flesh the rest of their lives. They couldn't kill them. It seemed like a small thing. To the eyes of reasoning, why, the answer was obvious. These people have come from a long way. Their bread shows it, and their shoes show it, and their clothes show it. Truly, they must be telling the truth. And they did not take time to search out the truth. God desires that we as individuals and as a people, search out and find out from God in the little things. It is in the little things where we slip. It's in the little things where we fall. We do not take them to the Lord and lay them before the Lord, that He might make that decision for us and give us that which is needful. And that time is not wasted. Taking those things to the Lord, He does not weary us coming. We do not weary Him and coming to Him. But God has given us a work to do. Everyone whom He saves, He gives a work to do. Every genuine Christian is a worker for Christ. If it's in the home, living there for the glory of God, that's a work that God has given you to do. If God has put you in the business world, or in the financial world, or whatever world that you live and walk in, God has put you there, if you're a child of His, to do a work for Him. There you are the salt of the earth. There you are the light of the world. And we must cry daily, Lord, establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Let us do it all to Thy glory. Remember, God has given us a work to do. He did not all call us to stand behind a pulpit or to teach a Sunday school class. He never called all of us to do this type of work or that kind of work. But He's called all of us to shine right where we are and to be a light of the world right where we are. And our prayer should be daily and hourly, establish Thou the work of our hands and let the beauty of the Lord rest upon us day by day. Whatever God calls us to do in whatever realm we walk in, may it be done for the glory of God. Now, am I making myself clear? God has given us a work to do wherever He puts us. There we're to carry on our business with the principles of the Word of God. Because we're in the business world doesn't mean we've got to lie or cheat or steal or falsify. We've got to go by the principles of the Word of God. Wherever God has put us, the whole world, our nation, is turned upside down. As if it's wrong for a woman to stay at home and have children and to raise up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I know there are occasions when a woman must work. I do not say that she shouldn't work. And I do not say that she shouldn't help in the work of the Lord. But what I'm saying is that if God's given us that work to do, wherever it is, let's shine there for the glory of the Lord. Now, the work that God has given us to do here as an assembly and as a church and as a pastor, we come to this. Should we not pray daily and hourly that God would establish the work of our hands upon us and the work that He's called us to do, and that is to preach the Word and to set it forth and to send it forth? If not soul winning, that is, bringing the gospel message to sinners about a Savior who died to set them free from the torments of hell and the torments of Satan and to bring them into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Is this not a great work? To be used of God in the vineyard to save souls? God's elect to be used to call out as instruments, though we be poor instruments, though we be nothing in our own eyes, yet God does say in His Word that by the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the thing preached, He's ordained to save those that believe. That is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Should we not pray that God would establish the work of our hands and bless it as it goes forth? Oh, beloved, what has God called us to do as an assembly, as a people? What has He put us? He's called us, first of all, to the work of preaching the gospel. By whatever means God gives us to do it with, He's called upon us to preach the Word, to live the Word. And, beloved, this is where the first part of our text comes in. If the beauty of the Lord our God is upon us, if we are delighting ourselves in Him, if we are rejoicing in Him, then when we go forth to labor in the vineyard of the Lord to send forth the gospel, it will sound real to those who are hearing it. If our lives adorn the gospel of the grace of God, and that's what Paul told Titus to preach to those at Crete, let them adorn the gospel of the grace of God. Well, how? With godliness. With a life of godliness. This is the way that the beauty of the Lord is upon us and our work is established. That God will honor the work of sending forth the Word. Now, beloved, God's given us a work to do. Now, I cannot help it that God started it with me. Now, I did not call myself. If God had not wanted it, and God had not purposed it, whatever I would have done would have been for naught. It would have never gone. If God had not provided for it, I've only prayed and labored and worked and cried unto God to establish the work of our hands and to send forth the Word. You know what God has done here and what He has built. It's been done in spite of me. But God has put us all into this ministry, either by prayer or by giving or actually working in it. And we have the opportunity that not many have. I do not know of another work in the whole United States that has all of the truth that we have to print and to send forth. That there are other ministries. Don't get me wrong, we're not the only one on the beach. But God has been pleased to give us the truth to send forth. He has also given us those writings that will bring down and tear down the strongholds of Satan, of error, and of evil. Our business is the business of the King. We should be urgent in this business. We should be fervent in this business. We should ask God to establish the work of our hands upon it. As I said, I can't expect anybody to do it as I do it. I can't expect anybody to think as I think. But God was pleased to do it through us. And I can't run from it. Many times I've tried. I told Him as late as this morning, how long, O Lord, how long? We're in one battle right after the other. It never quits. We go from one battle to the other. It never stops. You talk about Psalm 42. I could have told you my experience in Psalm 42 of God's dealings with my soul. But look, as long as we're together, I know that you would do it different than I do. And I love your input, and I love what you have to say, and I've taken many of your suggestions, and we've worked with you hand in glove as God has given us grace to do it, but we have a work to do. Let's cry that God would establish that work. But I'm getting old. My prayer for God to establish this work might be answered by God sending me on to heaven. By taking me completely out of the way. Many a time men have prayed that God would bless the labor of their ministry, and they have been the ones that were hindering it, and it could not prosper until they were taken out of the way. And I have faced that. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself.
God could take us out of the way. I face that possibility. So therefore, there should be young men coming up with the burden to preach and to teach and to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. We should pray that God would establish the work that He's done here. Now, God has dealt with my heart all week about this, and I must preach it. I must lay it out before you. That God would raise up others to labor with us. Who, and it's been my prayer, that God would raise up those who know what it is to preach, that men may know that they are lost. Oh, I meet many and many and many who can tell you that they were saved, but they never know anything about being lost. And Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God would raise up those who know what it means for God to bring come down in convicting power to their soul and to undress them and bring them naked before Him. We need that. Beloved, we cannot jump from a static rapture into grace. It is a breaking down of the man, of the heart before God. If we don't have that, we don't have anything. Amen. Let's pray that God would establish the work of His hands, our hands, and that He would raise up and continue to probe our hearts. That we would know how God saves a sinner, how God saves a soul. Then pray that we would point them to Christ. Amen. Yes, we've got to see our hearts, but we've got to see His heart. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. We want to see His beauty. We want to see His glory. And beloved, we've got to bear long with others. I'm going to ask you all a question. Are you listening to me? I want you to answer honestly in your own heart. There's been a young man among us for nearly a year. I don't know who in this crowd this morning that he hasn't wearied with what he has desired to have. Over and over, I have heard it 100 or more times, as late as Friday night for an hour and a half. You know what I faced yesterday? Am I going to go weary with this young man? How many of us have been wearied because of him? How many of us have wanted to turn him aside and say, look, you won't trust the Lord? I won't have anything to do with you anymore. And I have actually heard individuals tell him, listen, I don't want to talk to you anymore. It came to me after Friday night visit. Because I was holding him to one thing. Look to Christ. What am I going to grow weary with him? God sent him here for a purpose. He hasn't been the last two Sundays. Now, did we run him away? Oh, I want to find a hole someplace and crawl in it right now. But I say this to all of our hearts this morning. Whoever God sends this way, He has sent for a purpose. And let's pray that God will establish the work of our hands. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip or anything of this nature. I'm only trying to stir up your hearts. If we're going to pray that God would establish the work of our hands in preaching the gospel of the grace of God, then we must be ready that God would send in whoever He pleases. And let us choose to those that we witness to. But how do we know that God has not raised us up for such an hour as this? The work of soul winning, then, should be our main thrust. Praying that God would establish the work of our hands in preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And then we should pray that God would strengthen the work of our hands in building up the body of Christ. There's a committee meeting every week now. It was appointed back in October.
Are we praying for them? Are you praying that God, as you come on the Lord's Day, that God would give your pastor the message that would edify you? You know, you can come in such an attitude. Listen to me now. You can come in such an attitude that what comes from the pulpit doesn't bless your heart whatsoever. And you want to blame it on the preacher. But maybe it wasn't the preacher after all. Maybe it was the condition in which you came in. And you didn't pray about it. And you didn't pray that God would bless it. And so the preacher gets the blame for it. But do you come praying that God will establish the work of His hands upon our, the work of our hands upon us? He says it twice, the work of our hands, establish thou it. As you come, do you pray that God will edify the children of God, build up the saints? I had one man tell me, he's in the audience this morning, he said if he don't come to this place and his heart's not searched, he don't feel he's been in the house of God. Now what about that? Do you feel that way? That you come here asking God to search you, to edify you, to build you up in the faith, to let you hear what needs to be heard? Or do when we say the text and you think you know where we're going, and then you turn us off because that's not what you wanted to hear? Maybe you didn't want to hear this morning. I don't know. But this is what God laid on my heart. We would pray hourly and day by day that God would establish the work of our hands, that the church, the body, would be built up. Now, are you praying that God's people will be edified and built up? And that God will draw together a people here who know the Lord, who are willing to follow Him, and that the church would be edified? All right, let's pray. That's a good work. That's a good work to do. Are we doing it? Now, to do that, our speech must be with grace seasoned with salt. We must speak that which edifies and glorifies the Lord. There are two scriptures that come to my heart. The one I just quoted from Colossians. And the other one, the first one is found in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. It ought to be a daily cry, that as we might build up the saints, the body of Christ, by our speech being with grace, seasoned with salt. And we will know how to speak to every man, because our speech is with grace, seasoned with salt. And then there's another scripture that comes to my mind, that I meditate upon and cry after, and that's Ephesians chapter 5. He says, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This is how we build up the body of Christ, that our speech would be with grace. Not foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, speaking that which edifies and glorifies and brings forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We should pray that God would establish the work of our hands upon us in this regard. Now, I didn't write Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5 that I just read. I didn't write that. God wrote it. It's for my heart, and I plead this over, and I plead Colossians 4:6, that our speech would be with grace, seasoned with salt. We might ask God to establish the work of our hands, that the body might be built up. And then, that we might speak the truth. Oh, beloved, we might testify to the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not let error knowingly go forth from our hearts and our minds. When we have borne testimony to the truth, we may
pray very earnestly that God will attend that truth. And we should expect God to honor His Word and to honor His truth. We might wait a long time before we see the effects of it. But God is sovereign in His operations. But as we speak forth the truth, as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must hold forth that truth. We cannot let any truth, any doctrine, any precious thought of God's Word fall to the ground. We cannot compromise it. We cannot pare off its edges. Because the Word of God is not a round, smooth thing that does no cutting. It is a jagged thing like a sword that cuts the heart. And it should be so. Like this morning, the Word of God should cut our hearts. And therefore, we should expect God to answer. He might not answer in our lifetime. There's no way that John Bunyan could ever think in any moment that ever crossed his mind that his Pilgrim's Progress would be in all kind of hundreds of languages 300 years after his death. Or that God would have blessed it in such a way that he did for 300 years. No way could he ever thought about it. Arthur W. Pink wrote in obscurity. In obscurity in Scotland. For decades. And sent his writings out to a meager, less than 1,000, month after month, praying. No way could that man ever think that there would be a revival of his work, and that it would spread by the millions in all kind of languages around the world. And neither can we understand what God's going to do through us. Pray that God will establish the work of our hands. Will you? Oh, let's pray. This thing has got a hold of my heart, and I pray that God will use it to our souls this morning. That we will pray and work and labor and not give up. Sure, we wait God's time. Sure, I cry because I have not seen souls saved lately. Sure, I take the blame. Sure, I tell God that I'm prayerless and I'm heartless and I have no compassion compared to what I should have. Sure, I tell Him this. But God's not wound it all up yet. And how do we know what God's going to do? Let's pray. Lord, establish Thou the work of our hands. And He will establish that which is of His. Brethren, this ought to be encouraging to us. Sam, my friend, this ought to be encouraging to you. Out yonder preaching where it seems like nobody hears. But ask God to bless the works of your hands as you preach to those students out on the campuses. And would you pray for him? Back him with your prayers. That God will drop a word in due season. It's God's work to open hearts. It's not ours. I saw something this past week I'd never seen before in John 6:44. For no man can come to the Son except the Father which has sent him draw him, and I'll raise him up to the last day. Man can boast of his free will, but if it's so free, why does God have to draw? I'd never seen that before. I had never thought about that before. And somebody asked me a while back, "You are learning new truths?" Well, I learn them all the time. Amen. I never get through learning. I saw that this past week in regard to free will. If God has to draw them, then how can it be free in regard to salvation? It can't be. It's the work of God. I cannot save a soul. I cannot convict a soul. But we should pray that God will do it. He will open Lydia's heart and drop in that which is needful to bring that soul to Christ. Does not the farmer go out in faith? And does not he plow the ground? And does not he turn it up time after time? And does not he go in there with the fertilizer? Does he not go in there with the seed? And does not he go over and over that ground to get the weeds out and to cultivate it until the cultivator can't go in there anymore because the corn is yehawah and he can't disturb it any longer? He plows in faith. He hammers in faith. He breaks up the soil in faith. He fertilizes in faith. He plants in faith. He goes with the mower of the cultivator through there and turn up the soil and get the weeds out and he can go in there no more. He does it by faith. Then he prays that God will send the rain. And I've heard him when I was in Minnesota so many times, boy, about July. If not, if we can just get just one more inch in July and maybe 2 inches of rain in August, we got a good crop. That's all we need. 3 more inches. 1 in July and 2 in August. What are they doing? Praying. And they look forward. They look forward to the grain at harvest time. And you and I should pray in faith. Sow in faith. Sow beside many waters. Establish the work of our hands, O Lord, and let us labor. But beloved, we cannot do this if the beauty of the Lord is not upon us. And there is our hope. We must see His face. We must delight ourselves in Him. The labor itself is hard enough. But for us to go in our strength, it becomes drudgery. Ask me, I'll tell you all about it. Not to miss the morning time with God, and to miss the reading of the Word, and to miss prayer, and pour out my heart to the Lord, and then try to go through the day and do the work of the Lord. It's like pulling, it's just drudgery. Like trying to get a bulky mule to move. Can't do it. We need to see the face of the Lord. We need to see the beauty of the Lord. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. And we should pray that God would give us a holy life. And we would do nothing to bring reproach upon the Lord. And we'll forget in my teens. I was in the drugstore. And I was in the section where they didn't have the pornography in those days that they got now. But they had enough in the detective story magazines. And I was over in this corner looking at these things when a prominent gentleman of the city came in who knew my father and knew me. And he walked up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and he says, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I thought you were a Christian. Your dad's a preacher, isn't he? What are you doing here?" I've had an opportunity to witness to that man again in my life. I was not saved at the time, but that I professed. What am I saying? I'm saying that we should watch what we say, what we do, where we go, how we speak, what we read, what company we keep. We might not mar the work of God or the hand of God upon us, that our testimony will ring true. When we speak, men will say, "He's been with the Lord. He's been with the Lord." But beloved, that's what God laid on my heart this morning. I pray that He will stir up our souls to this. Will you pray that He will? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Let's pray for each other that we'll speak the truth in love and understanding, and that we'll walk with the Lord and we'll trust the Lord. And you who are not saved, this could be your prayer. Let the beauty of the Lord, my God, rest upon you. You not be satisfied until you wake in His likeness in the new birth. You wake in His likeness as you trust Him and look to Him. He was lifted up to give repentance and remission of sins. We're to look to Christ at all times. We're to look to Him continuously. Now. Every day. Every hour. Not upon our own things, but look upon Christ. That's where our hope is. And when I come to the end of the day, and I have utterly and completely failed, I cannot take comfort in what I have done. I can only remember what I have left undone. But I can take comfort in the work of Christ. His is a finished work, forever and forever. And this is the work that God wants us to take comfort in, is the work of Christ. He wants us to look to Him and rejoice in Him and praise Him day after day. Now, I don't know what you came for this morning. You didn't know what God was going to give us, did you? I didn't either. But He gave it to us. It's the word He laid upon my heart. To have our hearts searched. Have our hearts encouraged. We might pray that God would establish the work of our hands. Honor it. His glory. That the beauty of the Lord may rest upon us. By faith we would walk with Him. By faith we would trust Him. By the faith we would not give up. And be not like Ephraim, who being fully armed, turned back in the day of battle. That's what keeps me going so many times. Sure, it'd be easy to get. Sure, it'd be easy to quit. Take my wife and my car, and let's go. But God won't let me. I'm sorry I get in your way a lot of times. I'm sorry I don't think like you think a lot of times. But here's where God's put us. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray that God will raise up young men for leadership. That God would lead. Lead us out. Lead us on. And establish the work of our hands here as an assembly.